OYOTU.com.
Sign Language with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 131 of Sign Language. Yes, yeah, don't start. I know. I said I was done. Okay, where do I start? I got to a point where I really missed doing a podcast about audio. I know many of you probably thought that I had, you know, said goodbye to audio and that I was hell-bent on photography, and I will admit there was a stage there where I did consider a career change. But then I turned away from it, and I'll come back to that in a minute as to why I had the second change of heart. What some of you may not know is since I put this podcast to sleep 3 years ago, can you believe it's been 3 years already? Kath and I have moved out of Sydney to a place about an hour north, a place called Gosford, and absolutely loving it. It means I'm still working in Sydney, which means I have a much longer commute than I used to have. Although it's not so bad. I bought a motorbike and, you know, takes me a little over an hour. So it's not too bad. But one of the downsides of us having moved up to here is that I am now further away from my mate Dave, who you've heard me speak about in the past. Dave and I record a lot of his music together. Or at least we did in the days when I was living in Sydney. He lived at the foot of the Blue Mountains, which from where we were living in Sydney was about a 45-minute drive. He has since moved further to the west, and I've moved further to the north, and we are now about two and a half hours away from each other. So as a consequence, we don't get together very often. We probably, you know, once every 3 months I'll, you know, put a weekend aside and get up to his place and we'll work on some vocal tracks to go along with the stuff that he's been tracking on his own, you know, in terms of drums and guitars and stuff like that. So he keeps telling me that, you know, he's going to send me stuff to mix, but hasn't done so yet. So, yeah, so things have all changed quite a lot in the 3 years since I put this podcast to bed. But yeah, I got to the point where I really missed doing an audio-related podcast. I did for a little while dabble with a new podcast called Nothing to Fear, which was meant to be very similar to Building the Pod, in that it was going to be tutorial in nature and specifically about a piece of digital audio software, in this case Reaper. What I came to realize very quickly was that I didn't have anywhere near the depth of understanding of Reaper as I did with Adobe Audition. The thing that put me in a commanding position with Audition was that I was using it in three very distinct ways. I was using it for radio production at the ABC, I was using it for podcast production at home, and I was using it for music production at home, working on Dave stuff. So, you know, they are three entirely different disciplines, and it gave me the opportunity, you know, because I was working with that software every single day of my life, to really explore every nook and cranny, and I knew everything that Audition could do. You know, and as a beta tester, I became, you know, very entrenched in all of the new features as they were released, and got to have my say in some of the new features and how they were implemented and all that sort of thing. So, you know, I was in a very good position with that. Trying to do the same thing with Reaper, it just didn't work. I didn't know the software as well as I thought I did, and it became very obvious to me as I tried to record that podcast, and so that's why I let it slip by the wayside. And yeah, and so as the months have gone by, I've gone, geez, I kind of miss talking about audio. And so yeah, so to come back to the, actually no, I'll delay you a little longer as to why I had the change of heart on photography. I want to start out by reading a piece that was written after the passing of Lou Reed a couple of weeks ago, and I won't tell you who it's from just yet. I will sort of get to that in due course. A great musician has joined the great beyond. Lou Reed. What a character and what a life. Since I'm still fairly young, I never realized that he wasn't always famous. The Velvet Underground were never an instant success, and Lou Reed's solo career didn't skyrocket immediately either. But now, The Velvet Underground and Lou Reed are classic figures of rock and roll history. To be honest, I was never a huge Velvet Underground fan. I like the occasional Lou Reed single, but I couldn't tell you intimate details about his life without consulting Wikipedia. But I can't argue with the incredible impact he had on the music world, and for that, he has all of our respect. He was different. He pushed the envelope and had a sound nobody else had at the time. It simply took time for all of us to realize his genius. I think everyone can learn from that. If you're different, you should embrace it. If you're an engineer and you have a quirky way of mixing, it still sounds great, but it definitely has a different sound than what everybody else is doing. Keep doing it. Keep pushing your boundaries and your comfort zone. There's bound to be a band out there that'll love how you make them sound. If you're a musician and you're in love with your songs, keep playing them. Keep it your art. Play more shows, record more songs, and perfect your quirky songwriting. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the next Lou Reed. Lou Reed left an awesome legacy. Keep doing your own thing, and don't be scared to take a walk on the wild side. Now, that piece was written by a guy, I don't even know how to pronounce this. This is obviously a European name. It's B-J-O-R-G-V-I-N. Bjorgvin? It sounds Swedish or something like that to me. But anyway, Bjorgvin is the guy who set up crowdaudio.com. Now, if you haven't heard of crowdaudio.com, he ran a Kickstarter project in the last couple of weeks, or it wrapped up last week. I don't know how long it had been running for. And essentially what he's doing is creating a marketplace. By the way, there is a reason why I read that Lou Reed tribute, and I'm coming back to that as well. This all sort of ties in. What crowdaudio.com is doing is creating this marketplace for bands who have recorded their stuff but lack access to a mixing engineer who gets their music, and mixing engineers who are looking for an opportunity to A, improve their skills, B, work in new genres, C, work with new bands, D, promote their name. And the way it works is that the bands pay a nominal fee to Crowd Audio to submit a song for a mixing competition. For the engineers, it's free to participate. You just sign up as a member, you get on their mailing list, and then you get an email when there's a new song, another band has come on board, or sometimes it could be a band who've done one in the past and they've gone, yep, we love that idea, we're going to do it again. And basically what happens is that the bands will export all of the work parts for a song that they've recorded, all with a common start time, so it's DAW agnostic. You can use whatever DAW you like to mix in. So, you know, you don't have to mix in blow tools if you don't want to. And basically, they put the work parts up in a Dropbox folder. They give you, as a registered engineer, the link to download all the work parts. You then mix the song, and they tell you, you know, for each particular project, we want you to master to, you know, this specification, you know, minus 16, minus 12, whatever it is. And you upload the song to your SoundCloud account. You then provide a link to the Crowd Audio guys. They then create a playlist of all the submitted mixes of that particular song. The artists then get to listen to all of these different mixes that different mix engineers who, you know, all over the world have had a crack at their song, and they get to choose not a winner straight up. They, I don't know if they shortlist or if they just, if they choose a preferred mix. And then it kind of goes into a second round where, you know, they might really like the mix, but they want to get some tweaks to it. And basically what happens is they have to have agreed at right at the beginning when they say, when they go to Crowd Audio and say, we want to submit this song, they have to put up a prize pool. And basically that prize pool goes to the engineer who submitted the mix that the band themselves liked. So as an engineer who's being involved, as I am, mixing songs for these bands I've never heard of, there is the potential that you're going to mix songs and you're never going to see a cent because you didn't win the competition. You know, your mix wasn't the mix that the band liked the most. So be it. I don't mind. I'm happy to be involved anyway because it's a great experience. It, you know, it's great to be, you know, suddenly getting access to multi-track recordings of songs in all different genres and throwing myself at it. So I've got involved. Okay, let me come back to the Lou Reed thing. The thing that I loved about that particular piece that Björgvin had written was the keep doing your own thing. That particular element of that whole Lou Reed tribute. And the reason that resonated with me and the reason I wanted to talk about it was because while I was on that journey of going down the path of thinking about a career change, getting out of audio, getting into photography, a discussion came up about what style of photography do you want to do? And this wasn't only addressed towards me personally. It was addressed to, you know, the listeners of the Shutters Inc. podcast about, you know, what is it you're focusing on? You know, what is your niche as a photographer? And I really struggled with that all the while I was thinking about, you know, this career change into photography. I was constantly saying to myself and to anyone who asked, I really don't know what type of photography I want to specialize in. I don't think I want to do weddings as a career. I like the idea of commercial stuff. I like the idea of fashion stuff. I like the idea of commercial real estate or domestic real estate for that matter, just the, you know, real estate photography and architectural photography. And I really couldn't pinpoint, you know, which particular genre of photography I wanted to go into. Anyway, as the months and months went by, I started to become, I don't know, agitated, on edge, and I couldn't work out why. And eventually one day I went, okay, stop, take a breath, step back, look at the big picture. What is it? What's not settled in your life right now? And I was able to admit to myself that I wasn't really ready to turn my back on audio. And so it was around, you know, it was then that I started to question my motivation and the fact that I hadn't been able to pinpoint a type of photography that I wanted to specialize in that sort of made me realize that maybe, you know, this wasn't what I wanted after all. And around this time, I came across, and this was probably through reading a photography blog, a link to another blog and a story called The Helsinki Bus Station Analogy, or something along those lines. And basically what it was written by a photographer in Helsinki. And he said, you know, quite often in photography, you know, we start down a certain path, doing a certain type of photography, and we start to get, you know, some positive feedback from some people, and then as you get better and better at it, then the tall poppy syndrome starts to kick in and people want to cut you down. And, you know, you might be doing landscape photography and people start saying, dude, what are you doing? You know, Ansel Adams was doing killer landscapes long before you, you know. Or if you're doing, you know, portraiture. You know, someone might come along and go, dude, Herb Ritz has done it all, man. Annie Leibovitz is the shit. You know, what do you think you're doing, you know, trying to make a living out of that? And we start to question whether or not our chosen line of photography is where we really should be and whether we should really look at some other avenue of photography. And the guy writing this blog post said, it's like being at the Helsinki bus depot. All the bus routes leave the depot, and for the first couple of kilometres, a lot of those bus routes follow the same path. And he said, and that is kind of analogous to the time you spend doing a particular type of photography. He said, and if you get a couple of kilometres down the road and you start to think, oh God, everyone's doing what I'm doing, I should do something else. It's like getting off the bus and going back to the depot. He said, but every time you do that, you've even if you get into a different genre of photography, you've still got to spend, you know, that period of time where you are still doing the same thing as everyone else who's doing that particular genre of photography. And it's only by, and he had the the now infamous quote, stay on the f***ing bus. It was a case of, you know, just stay with it, because the longer you do it, the longer you stay on the bus, the more the other bus routes start to peel off in different directions here, and then another one peels off that way, and then another one heads off the other way, and before long, or, you know, eventually, you find that your bus is out in, you know, this area where no other, you know, jumping to the photography metaphor, no one else is shooting the type of stuff you're shooting. And that really resonated with me. I thought, yeah, that makes so much sense, you know, that you need to find your niche and, you know, and stick with it. And Glyn, who is the current co-host of Shutters Inc. with me, made a very similar comment only a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, he said, when I was in the US, he said, I was talking to a group of people at my photographic workshop, and I said to them, you know, you're driving down the highway and you decide you want some seafood for dinner. And you see a restaurant that's a seafood restaurant on one side of the road, and on the other side of the road, there's a place that does seafood and pizza and Italian. Which one are you going to go to? And I said, well, you'd go to the dedicated seafood restaurant. And he said, exactly, because they specialize in it. So they're going to do it better than the place that's trying to do a little bit of everything. So all of this sort of made sense to me at the time with regards photography about, you know, sticking with what you know and, you know, not going back to the bus depot and hopping on a new bus. And when I started started to have this realization that I wasn't ready to turn my back on audio, I thought, as well as making sense on which genre within photography, it kind of plays out to the whole career choice thing as well. I thought, why go back to square one to start a career, you know, in photography when I'm 26 years into, you know, a career as an audio engineer, and have sort of, you know, carved out my place in the industry, you know, for myself where I am now, and I'm a long way ahead of anyone who's starting in the industry today. If I was to jump out of this industry and jump into photography, I'd be right back at the beginning. I'd be back at the bus depot, and I'd have all that ground to, you know, have to cover again along with a bunch of other people until I got to a point where my work was unique enough that people would see the value in it. So that's kind of what brought me around to deciding, maybe photography wasn't really what I wanted as a career choice. Maybe I should just keep it as a hobby and enjoy it for what it is, and stay focused, if you'll pardon the pun, on audio as a career choice. Because I do. I still love what I do. And I'm very fortunate in that respect. And I've always said that. You know, I've always said I feel blessed to have found this career where I get paid good money to do the same thing I do for free at home in my spare time. Like I am now. So it all kind of tied in. And, you know, this piece about Lou Reed and, you know, if you're a musician in love with your songs, keep playing them. If you're an engineer with a unique mix, you know, keep doing it. Because the longer you do it, you know, the longer you stay on the bus, the sooner it'll be that you end up in that spot where no one else is, where you've got something that is uniquely yours. And you yourself may not always see that what you do is unique. But other people will, you know, other people will look at you and go, yeah, here's this audio engineer with 26 years of experience. And there's just something about the way he works that's different to everybody else. I can understand that. I may not necessarily recognize those things, for myself, but other people will and do. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. So I've decided, no, I'm sticking with audio as my career, and part of the appeal in doing a podcast is in those years when I was producing, building the pod and sign language, I think I learned more about audio during the times that those podcasts were in production, more so than at any other time in my career. And I feel like since I, you know, put sign language to bed 3 years ago, that I've not learned as much new stuff about audio as I did when I was producing it. So yeah, so that's where I'm at. As for the future of this podcast going forward, I will be honest, I don't know exactly what sort of content I'm going to cover just yet. I'm looking for input from you guys. And hopefully, you know, the people who used to listen to this podcast are still around. I know when I floated this idea over the last couple of weeks on Facebook, there were quite a few people who expressed an interest in having sign language, you know, be resurrected. So, you know, I hope that it lives up to your expectations and that it lives up to its previous glory. I'd love to talk more, you know, production technique stuff. But the reason I, you know, put this podcast to bed was because I felt like I'd covered it all, or that I'd covered everything I felt qualified to talk about at the time. So if there are things that you want to discuss, please, please let me know. My email address has not changed. It is still studio@audiotou.com. Fire off topics at me. I'd love to get some input from you guys. And I may also look at the idea of, you know, getting other audio engineers to, you know, jump on Skype and have a chat every now and again. Yeah, maybe we can pick each other's brains. So, sorry if it's been a bit of a ramble. But just wanted to say g'day and let you know that I'm back. As for the frequency, haven't really decided yet, but it'll probably be fortnightly to begin with. If I find that I've got enough content to make it weekly, then I will do so. But one thing I've always said about podcasting was, if you've got nothing to say, then don't podcast, because people's time is too valuable. And I will always respect that ideal. That if I don't have something worth talking about, then I just won't put out an episode. So please hit me up with some ideas. Anything you want to discuss or you want to hear discussed, please let me know, and we'll take it from here. And until I speak with you next, take care.
Sign language.
Another audiotou.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out
signlanguagepodcast.com
or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback. email studio@audiotou.com.